Vasudevaya.
Is anyone here for the first time? Does not look like it. You've all been here before?
This week.
Sorry?
For this week.
For this week. You can be forgiven. Machitta sarva durgani ma prasada tarishya si. Atat chitta mahankaram nasrusha sivi nangshya si. If you become conscious of me, you will cross over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Anyone other than Kresho and Jishnu will know where that verse comes from? Bhagavad Gita, of course. Which chapter? Okay. 18, chapter 18, text 58. Yes, 1858. If you become conscious of me, you will cross over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, we want to cross over all obstacles of conditioned life. What are the obstacles of conditioned life? Who wants to take a stab at it? Non-bhakti shastris only. Yes?
The modes of material nature?
Yes, the modes of material nature are obstacles in conditioned life. Anyone else want to go over the obstacles of conditioned life? You won't get specifically what I'm looking for, but these are certainly valid. Yes?
Birth.
Yeah.
Birth.
Old age, sickness, and death.
Birth, old age, disease, and death. Yes, those are obstacles of conditioned life. However, those are, if we look at it, the obstacles to conditioned life, but those are what happens. Think of a, what do they call that race where you jump over the hurdles? Steeplechasing? No.
Hurdles.
Hurdles.
I think that's how they call hurdles.
When you jump over the hurdles. So think of birth, old death, birth, death, birth and death and all those things. Those are what happens if you don't jump over the hurdles. So the hurdles are something else. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If you don't jump over the hurdles and finish the race, then you take another birth. So the hurdles, the obstacles of conditioned life, what are those obstacles? You mentioned one of the three modes of material nature. That's certainly valid. Anyone else want to bring up obstacles, hurdles? Let me rephrase this. Hurdles to achieving Krishna Prema.
False ego.
False ego. Yes. Very good.
Attachment.
Yes. We get, that's one of the three I was looking for. Yes.
Anarthas.
Anarthas. Yes. Absolutely valid. Anything else? Yes.
Desire.
Yes. Desire.
Material desires.
Material desires. Yes. Material desires. Desires. Material desires. Absolutely. These are all hurdles on the path to Krishna Prema. I thought I saw a hand. Anjali or Anjali?
Lust.
Lust. Yes, lust, absolutely. Jishnu?
Anger.
Yes, it's again one of the two of the three I was actually looking for. It comes in the three obstacles, particularly mentioned several times in the Bhagavad Gita. It comes in the fourth chapter.
Lust, anger, and greed.
Lust, anger, and greed. No, not particularly. Jishnu. Chapter 4,
love
text. Sorry? Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger. Krishna lists these in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 10. Being freed from attachment, that encompasses desire, fear, and anger. Being fully absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past have become purified, the three modes of material nature, and thus have attained transcendental love for me. So the obstacles in conditioned life, obstacles, the hurdles we have to overcome to come to Krishna. Krishna gives them very clearly. Attachment, fear, and anger. It starts with attachment because we've gone over this numerous times, and I'm going to bore you by going over it again. We are pleasure seeking. So the desire to seek happiness is part and parcel of who we are. We're going about it the wrong way. We seek pleasure in the material world, and we end up becoming distressed because of it. But we have some attachment, right? Because we're seeking pleasure, the mind fixates on, we talked about attachment, Krishna talks about attachment in the second chapter. By contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops
attachment
for them. So we have this contemplation, we're contemplating, we want happiness. So because we're not spiritually mature, we were not born little Narada Munis, we go towards the sense objects for attachment. That's the first thing we know. What do you do when a baby cries? Pacifier. We immediately pacify the sense object. So, you would know, wouldn't you?
You missed it.
Oh, really?
So mama came.
There you go.
Pass it over.
That's it.
So we cannot help. From the very moment we take our first breath, we're given something for our sense gratification, a pacifier in the mouth. So we immediately become conditioned and attached to satisfy our senses, right? So that's, okay, we have to break that, which was why we know, I think it's in the third canto, where it talks about the development of the child within the womb, how the child prays to Krishna for deliverance. That's the third canto, right, I believe? The embryo prays to Krishna for deliverance within the womb, but as soon as the child is born, the soul completely forgets because we're shoving pacifiers and things in its mouth. So we are born, see, he's raising his hand. Yeah, I know that. So we're born with this idea of satisfying the desire for happiness by sense gratification, sensual objects. So we develop attachments. Fear and anger come when these attachments are not satisfied, or something happens when our attachments are taken away, or when something threatens our attachments. Then fear and anger arise. So attachment, fear, and anger, these are the obstacles of conditioned life that Krishna is talking about. Now let's look at these obstacles a little bit more in the fourth chapter. Yes?
I can understand anger, but how would you become fearful when your attachment is concerned?
What do we fear? If we are pleasure-seeking, what do we fear?
Loss of
the loss of that attachment. I wish I had a bookmark here. We have this tangible loss and there's intangible losses. We fear both. Tangible loss is when we fear loss of life, loss of home, loss of job, loss of money. That's tangible. Intangible fear is when we lose the fear of losing love, acceptance, appreciation, honor. So we fear these things. Now, going a little bit into fear. Fear is part and parcel of conditioned life. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. It is fear happens when we try to preserve something. So when we try to preserve our life, fear arises. We're in fear of losing our life, that's where that comes from. So the preservationist principle of protecting ourselves is where fear lies. We also try to protect we talked about the different losses, tangible and intangible. We also try to protect intangible loss. If someone is spreading rumors about us, that's a loss of appreciation. We want to preserve that. So we do not have this kind of, we have this anxiety that we're going to lose the appreciation of other persons. So this comes part and parcel of who we are. It's part and parcel of the makeup of the living entity, the conditioned living entity, to fear. Because we're trying to protect two things. We're trying to protect ourselves from tangible loss and intangible loss. Now what's interesting about the tangible loss and intangible loss is that they're both on the material platform. House, car, job, career, all tangible, all on the material platform. Love, appreciation, honor, dishonor is Prabhupada, Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, all intangible, but it's all based on matter. The only way to become free from fear is to detach ourselves from reliance upon matter. It doesn't mean we do not act in a world of matter. I can't sit here and turn on the microphone by thinking about it or by chanting Hare Krishna to it. It's two different realities. So I live in a world of matter, so I use matter to turn my hand, to turn the thing on and off. So we live in a world of matter, but we are not reliant upon it for our spiritual identity. It's very important. That's why when Krishna begins talking in the Bhagavad Gita, the first thing he establishes is identity. Because the number one thing we fear losing is identity. Now that actually brings a point to Mayavadis, and this comes in the fourth chapter. By establishing identity, we're no longer reliant upon material nature for our happiness. Because if we recognize we are spirit soul, what are the three qualities of spirit? Non-bhakti-shastris. You're not a bhakti-shastri? Give me one.
Sat.
Sat means? Eternal. Another quality of spirit.
Chit
means?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Aware. Yes, exactly. Third?
Ananda
means? Happy. Pleasure seeking. So, by coming to our real identity, recognize we are not matter, though we must function in a world of matter, but we are not matter, we cut the reliance upon matter for what? What do we all want?
Penance.
Happiness.
Happiness. That's the last thing Daryl wants is penance. Daryl was like, you don't know me. Penance. Pleasure. Happiness. We have this attachment to matter, thinking that matter is a source of happiness, so we rely upon matter for happiness. The devotee of the Lord does not detach themselves, not detach, the wrong word, does not negate the understanding, does not negate the reality. This is a material reality. If I hurl myself at a brick wall, I'm going to have a very real bump on my head. It is a reality, a material reality, but it is a reality. So we're not trying to negate reality. We're trying to come to the platform where we are not reliant upon material reality for our happiness. And we don't need to. Because Brahmasukha, the happiness that comes from the spiritual realm, far outweighs the happiness we can ever possibly gain in the material realm. Why is that? Because, I'm running out of time, the reason why is because happiness in matter has a problem. It's based on things outside of our control. I would like to go hiking. Thoroughly enjoy hiking. If it rains, my happiness is curtailed. I love pizza. Daryl's cooking. That curtails. I'm sorry. It's all in love. I've never had his pizza, so that's, I have no idea what that's even. But you get my point. Happiness in the material realm, happiness based on sense objects, is based on things outside of our control, so it is not unending. That is the number one problem with happiness on a material level. Happiness on a spiritual level has no connection with our material reality. Completely divorced from it. If Daryl's cooking, it's raining outside, everything's gone wrong in my day. If I am of the maturity of Haridas Thakur, of Jesus Christ, of all the other Vaishnavas and saints in all religious systems, it doesn't matter that Nitin is nailing me to a cross. That is the only way Christ can say, forgive them, is because his spiritual, I'm not saying he doesn't feel pain, not physical pain, we're talking about spiritual, being in a spiritual place, recognizing that his body can be nailed to a cross, And that takes realization. You can't read that in a book. If you do not realize and experience happiness from within, you cannot be nailed to a cross and say, Krishna, forgive Nitin. You cannot. This has to be realization. It is not book knowledge. It is not theory. We can only go so far with theory. There comes a point where we have to not live it. We have to realize it. We have to become spiritual. We have to become pure devotees. We say pure devotee, we think, oh, pure devotees, jai, pure. No. We have to become pure devotees. Each and every, otherwise, the first time Nitin comes at you with a hammer and a nail, you're going to go at him with a hammer and a nail. You get my point? We're not going to be properly situated. Again, this does not mean that we do not act in a material reality. If Nitin comes at me with a nail, regardless of whether I'm pure or not, I'm probably going to try and stop him, right? We're not talking about that kind of, not protecting ourselves and protecting other devotees. I'm talking about a spiritual understanding, this spiritual mentality, not being reliant upon our material reality for happiness. And that's word. Those are only words. Until we are realized, those are only words in a wonderful book called Bhagavad Gita. We have to realize it. We cannot go on, I'm speaking for myself, getting up from Mangalarti, chanting 16 rounds, and doing all these different things, and not endeavoring, with the intention of becoming purified of the modes of material nature. Because I can do this for lifetimes. The only thing that Krishna guarantees for the devotee is that, sorry, I was distracted. Sanat Kumar just walked in and he is covering my deity services tonight. So when I see him, I'm happy. Not that I don't mind deity service, but thank you. Someone help me.
Please. The only thing Krishna guarantees.
Yes, the only thing Krishna guarantees is, who knows what the guarantee is? Non-bhakti shastras. It's in the second chapter. It's a hint. I will protect you from the most dangerous type of fear. The most dangerous type of fear is...
death.
Nope. You're close. You're halfway there.
Spiritual loss.
Spiritual loss. Yes, that's the result of this thing happening. What happens after death?
Material world, yeah.
Birth, exactly. The most dangerous type of fear is to really take rebirth and not being able to continue our devotional process, particularly taking birth in the animal species. That is the most dangerous type of fear, because once you take birth in the animal species, it is only, it's always by the mercy of the devotees, but animals cannot choose to serve Krishna. And bhakti yoga requires a conscious choice. So the most dangerous type of fear, Krishna promises that one who begins, what I guarantee is I will always give you the opportunity to continue. Whether or not you continue is another thing. But Krishna guarantees I will always put you in a situation where you can continue. That is the guarantee. I don't know why I was going down that road. But we have to wrap up anyways because we have about 45 seconds. So, recap. Obstacles of conditioned life.
Attachment,
fear, and anger. Where do we find these three? Oh, sorry, where is it referred to in the Bhagavad Gita?
Chapter 4, text 20.
10.
10.
Remember this chapter. That's what, come on, sorry. It's very important. I realize now why my teachers didn't allow me to go out and play if I did not memorize these different things. For me, in the beginning, it was parroting. Now it's all, when I'm old enough to actually use my brain, I recognize the importance of having the theory in my brain. Because at least I know what I have to achieve. I'm so far away from achieving it. But it's important, these little you don't have to learn all the sense, but the little phrase is the most dangerous type of fear. What is it? Where can I find it? Where can I read in the purport? What are these obstacles of conditioned life that Krishna has taught? What are they? Where is that purport? Where is it? Chapter 18, 58. Know where these things are, because it's critical. Unless we are pure devotees, when Nitin comes at us, we are going to go at him. We're going to rely on material reality for our spiritual happiness. We're going to take birth again in the material world, or worse, take birth in the animal species, and then be unable to practice to choose Krishna consciousness. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki.
Yeah.
Back to the kitchen. I will see you later.